Hi folks on VI Talk, it's Contrary Tan here. Apologies for not coming back to people on the body language topic I put up about 2 weeks ago. I've just had a lot on, and I had something else to deal with on Audio Boo, but it's another matter, and I won't bring it up here. But I just want to say thank you very much for all the responses. I thought there were some really... Well, you all had some really great points to make, some really interesting, thought-provoking things to say, and I want to respond, and you know, I really do, and I'm really, really, it's got me thinking about all sorts, and it's just a variance of different things, and it could go on and on and on. This could potentially, but and also somebody brought up a topic that I'm going to be using later, not for this week, but another week, which I thought, oh, I could use that as a topic. So I'll just make a start, really. I've listened to everybody's boos, everybody's who's contributed to this particular topic, and I made some notes so that I don't get mixed up or don't, you know, I get people's names right and everything else like that, because I think that's important, and I think it shows respect to the people who've contributed and the fact that they have been listened to. Now, if I get anything wrong, I do apologise. It could be two things. One, sometimes the quality of the boos, so, you know, somebody's speaking away from the mic a bit, not intentionally, but by accident, and I have problems with my boos sometimes like that, or just the quality of the recording, or, you know, so I do apologise if I've picked up something wrong in any way in advance, so you know it's not personal, it's just purely the fact I couldn't hear something or misunderstood something purely because of the quality of the recording. So please, I apologise in advance. And here are my thoughts based on people's boos and some of my own thoughts. You know, it's interesting what Joe brought up and other people brought up about how important it is to face people when you're speaking to them. I want to bring up something that people may not have thought of. The aspect of the fact that, yeah, I think it is important because it does show interest over you. You know, interest in what somebody's got to say, and you know, you're not showing you're bored, and you're giving somebody a attention. However, if you're somebody like me with a dual disability, that is quite difficult, particularly in my case that I'm hearing impaired. What the important thing to me is I'm able to hear what somebody's saying and give them attention. And for me, the best thing for me is to listen. So I'm hearing what they say, because if I'm trying to look at them and trying to listen, I'll not get the full picture. So what I tend to do, and this is a tip for anyone who's got a dual disability, and this will be linked to my next topic, but anyway, is to just tell somebody, look, if I'm not looking at you, it's because I'm actually listening to what you're saying, and I think that's valuable. I want to be able to know that I'm hearing what you're saying and I'm listening to you. So if I'm turning my head to the right or to the left and I'm not facing you, it's because I'm actually making sure that I'm hearing everything you're saying. Because what I find, if you're in a crowded place and you can't hear, you really have to be able to hear what somebody's saying. You want to give that person attention. So I basically preempt. I'll say to somebody, look, if I'm not looking at you, it's not because I'm not listening, it's because I'm making sure I am listening and turning my ear towards you so I can hear what you're saying, because I can't hear you. So that's what I would do. But I understand where people are coming from with that. I really do, because I find it really annoying if somebody sighted didn't really look, give me the proper eye contact. I really do. I do find that annoying, because I think it's rude. And I actually had this recently where somebody asking me if I wanted to cross the road, but they weren't looking at me. We were looking straight ahead towards the left, and I was kind of on their left, but they're looking straight ahead across from me, and I thought that was rude. They didn't look directly at me, and I thought, well, that is actually quite rude. And I noticed that, maybe unless they were deaf as well. And Joe and a few of us mentioned about the self-consciousness idea of body language. Well, I have to be honest, to a certain degree I am self-conscious, and I'll explain why later when I come to something that JLL_tribute mentioned. I'd be interested to hear what your Rob thinks, Joe, because you did say you might ask Rob and see what he thinks and get back. I'd be really interested to hear what he's got to say from a sighted person's point of view. And you did kind of mention a little bit what the things he's noticed, but I would really be interested in what you say. Now, JLL_tribute, if I've got your name correct. It was just a great boo. The impact of body language, positive and negative. The thing is, it's interesting. Body language just tell you a lot about a person, the way a person. For instance, one of the reasons my dad, oddly enough, was attracted to my mum is her walk. He loved the way she walked. She had a kind of, and I've got a very similar walk to my mum actually. But it was just the way she walked, and it does give an impression of you if you do something a certain way. And sometimes if you're looking confident, and I don't mean physically looks, I don't mean like your face or, pretty, but it's, if you move in a confident manner, you're more attractive, apparently. People are drawn by somebody's confidence. And if you walk in a confident manner, if you have a confident air about you, I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but it can be attractive to people. And it's interesting because I've got, I know somebody who's totally blind and is very confident in the way they walk and the way they do things. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And they've always been blind. And I was like, oh my gosh, you don't act like, you've got all these mannerisms that a lot of blind people have, which is what I call them. I won't call it body language, I'll call it some mannerisms. And I hope I'm not trying to insult people here. I'm really not. But I was, one thing I was impressed by is the fact that they, as best of their ability, their body language is pretty good considering they've always been blind. Really, really excellent. And I won't say who it is because I'd embarrass them. And I don't know whether they'll hear this or not, so I won't embarrass them. And if they do talk about this topic, I'll say it's them. But if they don't, I won't. it does have an impact. And, people do make comments. Oops. People do make comments about Stevie Wonder. But I think, it's, we know why he does it. And there's several reasons why people shake their heads and sway or rock is another one nobody's mentioned, which I understand is a little bit of a taboo topic. And it's often to do with stimulation, the need for stimulation, because they haven't got the visual stimulation. They've got that's a stimulation that they have. It helps them think. I believe that's probably the reason why. I'm not sure it's been proven that way, but I think that is the main reason why people who move, it's a stimulation thing. Ray Charles, I do know, did take drugs, and one of the things that people on drugs can do, I'm not saying it's always the case, and I'm being very careful what I say here, is they can sway. That doesn't mean to say that everyone who sways is on drugs. It's just something that can happen as a result of taking drugs. And actually, interesting enough, I won't say that, but, because that could, that is one of the things that people do. And this is moving on to what my own awful, cringeworthy situation. Was to do with my sister. I was actually going. I went to the chip shop, and our chip shop has a see-through window, so you can see in. You can see people who are in there and queuing up. And I went in to get the chips, and my sister was sitting in the car opposite, so she could see me through this see-through window. I went in, and I couldn't really see the end of the queue because I couldn't see who was being served. And sometimes, in these queues, I can't always hear that somebody's shouting next, or can't always see the end of the queue. So what I was doing, I was moving towards the left to look round or to the right to see. And when I came out, and my sister said, "Why were you swaying from side to side? You look like you're on drugs." And that really upset me, really, really upset me, because this is a family member saying this, not just anybody. This is a family member saying it. And because I had a legitimate reason for doing it, and I'm not on drugs. And I think it's nothing wrong with mentioning somebody's body language, but it's the way you're saying it, and that's something that makes me really cross. I don't think it's a problem saying to somebody, I think it's best, how do you address somebody whose body language isn't quite right? And I think personally, I think the best way of saying it is, why were you swaying to the side? Like, oh, right, I see, And I'll say, oh, it just looked a little bit odd, that's all. Oh, right, okay, that's fair enough. What would you suggest I would do in a situation like that if I can't see who's at the end of a queue? And then you come back to that person as well and say, what would you do in that situation? Because I've soon shut them up. Because I think, I mean, I didn't do that at the time, but I wish I had now. I wish I'd said to my sister, what would you have done? I suppose you'd have been able to see where the end of the queue was. And you're tall enough to see over the top of people who are tall, because I'm short as well. I'm 5 foot nothing. What was I going to say? And the thing is, I also have a tendency to look at lights as well, and it is purely for stimulation. I think it's because I was born blind, actually, and then I had operations, and I think it's got a lot to do with that. And I think light stimulates the brain, and if you notice a lot of, I'm not autistic, but people who are autistic will have light, or people with brain injury will have light to stimulate the brain as a children. And I think it's linked with that, really. But I tend to not do it in public because I know it could look odd. But I really, really stand with you on what you, awful, painful experience you had. And that could have gone on for a long time without you realising. I wish somebody had said it to you in a much nicer way. I really do. I could have just said, I don't know if you're aware, but I would have said it this way. I don't know if you're aware, Steve, but you've been looking at, you're staring at a light a lot when you're performing, and it does look odd. Are you aware that you keep doing that? And if you are, is my suggestion, do you want to, you know, you can move the piano so that you aren't distracted by the light but facing the audience, or something along those lines. But I just think that was really awful what that person said. I think that was really demeaning, and I don't think I would have said it like that, because it's just really horrible. And yeah, sometimes you can be spaced out. Any sighted person can look spaced out. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Let's see. Oh, hang on. Message coming up on my phone. Interesting. Yeah, your TV. The TV thing you mentioned. It's funny because there's a lot of blind people do that who will not look at a TV, but not face a TV, but it will be there in front of them, not looking. And I haven't thought about that. And it's an interesting directional things, and it's easily done. You're not really facing whatever you're meant to be facing. I hadn't thought about that one, and it's a good point you brought up. Jeff Thompson, your great comments on audio cues, using audio cues instead of visual cues for what people do. And sometimes there's a pause in a conversation. It's possibly that the sighted person, I would say, is using those audio visual cues. Something I want to bring about group body language, actually, because you're talking about you were mentioning about, you know, in a group situation and the podiums and facing groups and all that sort of thing. But it's not quite linked, but it's sort of subtly. One of the troubles I've always had is groups, going into groups, because sometimes you go into a group and you think, oh, do I go up and speak to them, or is it rude? And I think sometimes I've accidentally interrupted a group conversation when I shouldn't have done. And I noticed there's two things it can do. One of my friends who was sighted, actually, and what I noticed her doing, she even gave me this tip. I think she was even telling me. She said, what I do is, if I'm in it, there's a group having a conversation, I go up and touch the shoulder of one person and I say, can I just disturb you a second, or something like that. And one of the tips I read about in a body language book was it on a TV program, I can't remember, was what often happens if you can see enough. If you can't, I know this won't be helpful, but when people are actually having a conversation, it's private, two people or a group, all their feet will be turning inward. All their feet will be turning inwards in the circle. It's normally like in a circle. It's not in a square. It's like in a circle, semicircle usually, sort of thing. But if somebody thinks it's okay for somebody else to join a group, what the tip was, one person will have their foot pointed outwards towards the outside of a circle. So that may be of help to anybody who can see enough to see that. If you can't, then do what my friend suggested, which was, you know, go up to that group and just put your hand on the shoulder of one person, saying, is it okay that I interrupt you, or can I just borrow you a second, or whatever you need to interrupt that group, whatever reason you need to do so. That was a really helpful hint for me. But it was good when for me, the pointing one was really helpful, because what normally happens, the reason why someone's pointing out is that person could leave the group, in a sense. Using hands while talking, it's Ike Allen brought this up. Actually, sighted people do this, which is what I said to Ike. I DM'd him about it, and sighted people do this. I worked in a media business, and I worked a lot with salespeople, and I was often watching the salespeople do their pitching. If you want to know what pitching is, when they, you know, basically getting somebody to buy their product, and closing means they're basically ending the sale, and you know. But hopefully that's not patronising anyone, it's just explaining things. But what would often happen is when somebody's coming to the closing their pitch, they would often stand up and start talking, which is a good tip. If you're on the phone, and I have even read it somewhere, but actually if you stand up, it's actually better. And I often do that now. When I'm making a phone call, I stand up while I'm talking. So that's a really valid tip. Not every situation. If I'm just talking to a friend, I'll sit down and talk. But if it's something important, like if an official call, then I'll stand up and lean on the chair and make the phone call. And it's okay to use your hands, because it's actually what salespeople do. They're always using their hands. They stand there and they wave their hand as they're talking quite fluidly. Just, you know, and the next one, and the next one. You know, returning the hand with, you know, clockwise or anti-clockwise or... And actually that's okay, because they're using a body language, they're speaking, it actually helps them to communicate. So by all means, if you're talking and you're on the phone and you want to use your hands, or even on audio, if it's something like that, use your hands. There's nothing wrong with that, actually, because people do. Sighted people do that, so it's actually okay. Mama Manders, if that's the correct name for your name, boo name. I understand... If you've got a bad blind boyfriend, the benefit of not being able to see is difficult, and it's understandable his movements will be more rigid because he hasn't seen what fluidity looks like, in a sense. And I think if he's doing it right, tell him when he's doing it right. That's the thing you could do with him. And I think he's quite funny and quite amusing when he's doing something wrong. I mean, the advantage of being with a blind boyfriend is obviously the fact that you don't have to. He doesn't have to see all your expressions and guess straight away what you're thinking, because you can hide it. He won't see it. So it's quite an amusing way of looking at it. And oh, it's very sweet what you're saying, and I can empathise with you there. And I think it's good that you. It's quite amusing that he doesn't, and it's good their way of handling, because you think it's amusing rather than it being anything really bad. And I think it's quite. At one time, I used to find it a bit... No, I won't say that. I won't say that at all. But it can be quite cute when a blind person gets something wrong, and, you know, when they're a little bit clumsy with their hands, they put a hand in the wrong place, or, you know, and I think it's quite cute sometimes. And it is quite funny. But not in a nasty way, but it's just so funny. And I think... that's all you can do, and just accept him as he is, and if you can help him improve it, but don't expect him to be perfect, because I'm coming on to that topic. Lenore 68, I agree with you on the fact that you know, body language is unique. Everybody's body language is unique, and in my opinion, really, if you can learn what you can about body language. But don't beat yourself up if you get it wrong. I need to have a perfect body language. I think that would be my message to people on VI Talk. If you're totally blind or have some sight, you know, learn it, but don't beat yourself up if you get it completely wrong, because you've got to be yourself. You can't be somebody else. And learn what you can to get by, basically, that will be enough that people say, yeah, actually, nothing you do now is looking exactly odd. It looks like you, but... still you, but you still got your own unique mannerisms, because everybody has unique mannerisms. I'll give you an example of this, and I have it as well. My dad will be talking about something, he'd shake his foot when he's sitting down, he'd shake his foot as he's talking, and I do that sometimes. I'll shake my foot when I'm talking. That's what you call a mannerism. It's not body language, it's a mannerism. is classed as a mannerism, and everybody has them, every single person. You've got people who will, my nieces, they frown a lot, and when I mean frowning, it's when you drop your mouth, it's like when your mouth droops, that's the best way I can put a frown, explain a frown, if anyone can explain that better. You know, and they always have this long face, as I call it, a long face. Ooh, she's got a long face on her, you know. or got a cob on her, you know, because that's what they say in Stoke. You know, it, you know, when and it's just kind of, it's a family trait they pick up on. And this links into a tip I've got for the eyes on. One of the things that a lot of sighted people do in body language is something called mirroring. And this is something you can do, even though you're totally blind. If you know that somebody opposite you has got a cup in hand, you know, if you're drinking a cup of coffee, and or you know, if they're picking up a mug, you pick up a mug, not the moment they do it, but just a little bit, a few seconds afterwards, you pick up your mug of coffee. Because one of the things that body language does is build rapport with the person you're with. And if and what they often say is if people have similar body language, that's usually what draws people to other people is a body language. It builds rapport. So if you know somebody who you perhaps given somebody a drink and they sit down, and you can probably hear them when they pick up their mug or cup. They might not, but if you do, particularly if it's a glass, it might be easier if it's a glass if you're in a pub or somewhere like that. If they're picking up their cup, their mug to or beer glass to drink or whatever, you know, a few seconds later you do it, not too obviously, but. And what it does, it just builds that rapport. Of, oh, you know, it's a funny thing. It's called mirroring, and apparently it does seem to. And sometimes when I've seen people cross their arms, I'll do it, or you know, but not you don't do it like deliberately copying, but you do it sort of not as if you are copying, but it's got to be really quite clever about it. I haven't done it for a long time, to be honest, but it often happens very naturally, actually. But that's something. Little tip as well. And we all have a unique body language, and I have a unique body language as well. And you know, don't beat yourself up being perfect, because this is about self-consciousness as well. I can be very self-conscious, and somebody actually pointed that out to me a while ago, but that's because I was brought up in a family where there's a lot of criticism. I had a lot of criticism when I was growing up, and I'm not making it a big issue, but that's the way it was. So I am a little bit more self-conscious, but that you can't relax, and therefore your body language isn't going to be relaxed, is it? So, Jenny Newman, yeah, good point about having a straight back, but I would say also that have your back straight but be relaxed. I don't know if you learnt to sing, then it's a similar posture really. That you have your shoulder, you it's straight but relaxed. Make sure that you're relaxed when not ramrod straight, so straight that you can't physically move, but relax enough that you can still move your shoulders if you need to, I would say. And I think it's important too, but I think visually impaired people should be taught a bit about body language to the best of their ability. Again, nobody expects it to be perfect. I really think this. And like Lenore 68 was saying about, I think it's a lot, people, the eyes are a lot more conscious of it than non-the eyes. And I think to a certain degree, what I would say is here, I think it's mainly family members of sighted of the eyes and the blind community that are most conscious of it, or people interviewing, not everybody else. So I think if you're with a VI friend, relax, don't worry too much about your body language then. Just relax with your VI friends and people who know you. Don't get too worked up. Use your body language skills that you built up when you need to use them, important, and when you're in the public. Just relax with your friends, though, because they're your friends, and if they can't take you as you are, then they're not really friends, are they? As long as you're not doing anything really silly like picking your nose or anything. And I'm not sure anyone would do that, really. It's just a joke. But you know what I mean. Don't do anything really silly. Ishpik Ahmed. I hope I've got your name correct. I'm really sorry if I haven't. Your point about body language cues, about understanding people's thoughts, feelings, mind, what have you, about what people telling truth versus lies. This is a really, I'm going to say something that's going to be a little bit different what everybody else has said. Not everybody else, but just going to say something. I think one of the things I've really learned, my sister is a big, big fan of body language. She's, and I think she's picked up on it because she knows I'm bright, but body language is something I'd probably struggle with as somebody who's visually impaired. So it's a thing that she's feels she's one up on me over. But I would say that what you can take a lot from what people say. Audible or what people are saying, you can judge a lot by what people say. And an actual fact, and interestingly, how many sales jobs are call centre jobs? Apart from retail, where you go in and buy something physically, a lot of sales work is actually over the phone. So if it was that important, there'd be a lot more people knocking on your door. Well, they can't do that so much anymore anyway, but it'd be a hell of a lot more people coming and knocking on your door. There'd be other, they'd use Skype and all sorts. And as far as I'm aware, people aren't using that as yet. And I'd be scared of a day when they start using Skype to contact you to try and sell you something. But that could happen, I suppose. But, you know, a lot of people use telephones. So really, we can tell a lot by listening to somebody. An awful lot. I mean, this guy was actually saying, who's a guy who's expert body language, he actually, when he said people telling lies, he actually used audible cues on knowing when somebody's lying, actually, which is very interesting, and I won't give him away on here, but things they omit to say, and I pick up on certain things, and one of the things I will just loosely say is consistency. Is one of the things I pick up on. If somebody's been inconsistent or consistency, you know, there's so much you can pick up on. A lot of people wouldn't. Attention to detail. I've got that kind of thing sized up, really. The trouble with being visually impaired is you won't always pick up on very tiny little clues like a wink or the best will in the world. You may not pick on very subtle visual cues, and actually even sighted people won't always pick up on them either. It's just a thought there, and I think I agree with Ishapak that they learn it is a skill that you can learn, and I believe to a certain degree you can, but don't expect to be perfect, because we're all VIs, and for the best of the world, we'll never have it fully worked out, and even some sighted haven't got it made perfect either. So I really want to thank everybody again for all your comments, and if I've said anything out of turn or anything, I do apologise, and I don't think I have, but you know, please get back to me if you're unhappy with something I've said, or you want something clarified, or you know, because I don't want to upset anybody or anything, and and if I've misunderstood something somebody said, please let me know. I've got a new topic in mind, and another one that's come up due to something Jeff Thompson said, and I will reveal that at some point soon. But for the meantime, I want to say thank you all again for your comments and posts on this topic. It's been really good, really interesting, lots of food for thought, particularly about, you know, whether it's something you should learn or not, and or it is as important as people think it is. And I would love to have had more posts from people of totals on their thoughts on it, and whether they've actually learnt body language or not. I'd really like to hear that. I think I'm going to try and get somebody to comment on that topic if I can, who's total, because I think they'd be good at it. But we'll see. Yeah, thanks to everybody for your comments. And if you want to continue commenting on this topic, feel free to do so, because, you know, it's not really, although I say it's a topic of a week, it can go as long as people want it to. It's not up to me. I put new topics up so that people got enough to, you know, to think about and digest. But please feel free to comment and, you know, feedback, or say, oh, I agree or disagree with something I've said. That's fine. So thank you all again, and bye for now.